There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Happy to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Wendy Nix, Dan Graziano, Ryan Clark, and Jack Del Rio. I think it's fair to say we are sleep deprived. And it was worth it. It was a game for the ages almost instantly. So Wilson and the Seahawks slayed the previously 8-0 49ers. That has become something he does often in his regular season career. He's played six games against opponents that entered eight or more games over 500. After last night, he's a perfect 6-0 in those matchups. Wow. It's Wilson like has thrown 13 touchdowns and just one interception in those games. And if you didn't hear Coach Del Rio, a shot has been fired.
Bang, bang.
Bang, bang.
Kirk's at his best when he's being
when he's winning. Kirk's at his best when he's winning.
When you're going negative on him. I'm just
You're welcome.
In the Vikings.
It's coaching.
That's what they call it. All right, well, let's talk about Russell Wilson and what he proved, Coach, last night.
Well, he proved he's an MVP candidate. And I think, you know, the poise that he plays with. Russell, if you watch that moment when he threw the pick, Pete Carroll rallied the team. Russell was talking about, hey, we're going to get it back. We're going to go down. I mean, they did continue to believe. I think that's legit. I think that's real. And I thought it was a great example of a coach and Pete Carroll instilling that belief, rallying the team. Hey, let's get together. Let's get a stop here. And then Russell's going to take him down and win. To me, that kind of belief is what it's all about with Seattle Seahawks.
You know, there are going to be people that point to stats and look at this weekend and what Lamar Jackson did against the Cincinnati Bengals and compare it to Russell Wilson sometimes struggles against the San Francisco 49ers. But I believe it's in those struggles that we saw why he's the leader for the MVP. When you have a bad play, when you come and you throw an interception and you give the other team an opportunity to win and they don't, and you have the type of belief in your skills and your teammates that you believe you can get this win, that's who Russell Wilson is. That's the MVP intangibles that he has. And also physically, he makes the plays each and every game. We watched him do this against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last week, and we see it again against the San Francisco 49ers. This is a habit. This isn't an anomaly.
Yeah, he's won two straight overtime games. He lives for these backs against the wall moments. I've talked to Russell Wilson about this. He says that his favorite teams were like the Derek Jeter Yankees teams, right? That, and I covered those teams,
yeah,
so I remember what he's talking about. Whenever it looked bleak, the opponent, you know, don't give him an opening. Don't make an error. And all of a sudden they got four runs on you when it looked like they were dead in the water. He sees himself that way. And so he loves being in that position where he feels like, oh, this game is, we're in trouble, it's lost, and pulling it out of that. That's one of his favorite things.
What's interesting, he may see himself that way. The statistics say he is that way. I mean, that is
right.
When
mm-hmm.
he steps up, and to your point, Coach, performs at the highest level, which is what an MVP does. Let me ask you this, and I will start with you again, Coach. Do you have any concerns that Jimmy Garoppolo can take this team all the way? Because given their record, I think that's the bar here. Can he lead this team to the Super Bowl?
To me, that's the biggest concern I have. As I look at the 49ers, you know, they've done a great job assembling talent. They're playing really good defense. Kyle Shanahan is doing a terrific job with the run game and offense and design. But Jimmy G and Booger kind of teed it up. All right, we're going to get to see America right here. We're going to get an example of why Jimmy G can lead this team or whether he can quiet his critics. And he hits the linebacker right in the chest. Now, KJ dropped the ball. And then he threw another one that Wagner had a chance to intercept. So, I mean, it was like, to me, that was a key moment, and Jimmy kind of proved that I'm not ready to trust him yet. I mean, that's just the reality.
Yeah. I think the thing about Jimmy G, which it is with many of the quarterbacks in his league, is that he needs everyone else. I think we're even seeing that with Jared Goff to a certain extent, that they need everyone else. Jimmy G isn't going to come to this team and lift it up and make it a Super Bowl contender by himself just because of his presence. He's a guy that's going to be steady. They're going to make sure he's in good positions. But last night, without Emmanuel Sanders, without George Kittle, we saw them have some drops, and Jimmy G wasn't a good enough talent, wasn't a great enough quarterback to bring them out of that. But that's not to say if they have all of their pieces, if the defense is playing playing at a high level, and you can get some of those plays made if Emmanuel Sanders is healthy and if George Kittle is out there.
That they make a field goal.
That they make a field goal. That's that thing.
Well, good enough.
I mean, it feels different, but I still saw what I saw. We all saw
The film is what the film. You're absolutely right. That's the biggest question I have about them as well. But they still had opportunities to win that game.
I think most quarterback situations, even most good quarterback situations, are like that, right? I mean, there aren't a lot of Russell Wilsons, right, who are, you know, okay, Tyler Lockett's out on the last drive. I'm still going to find the fourth or fifth wide receiver on the depth chart that no one who's watching TV, knows who he is, and he throws to him at the biggest moment. But so I think Garoppolo, you're absolutely right. And, you know, we saw some, and he did have them in position, a 40-yard field goal away
from
winning.
And he is 16-3. I mean, it's not like he's a bad player. He's a good player.
So he can make the throws. It's just a matter of, you know, have we seen him do it? 16-3 is only 19, right? So Russell Wilson's played a lot more games. Aaron Rodgers played a lot more games.
It's also that thing, I believe, because he is 16-3, because he was playing on a team that's undefeated, is you start to dissect him in a different way. He got this deal, $137 million, before many said they were sure about what he was. So we look at him on a different level. He's critiqued in a different way. And when you see what Russell Wilson did in crunch time and you have to compare the two face-to-face, you say to yourself, these two things are different.
Well, there were injuries in this game, and you referenced one, and that's to Tyler Lockett. He was not available in that last drive. What's the latest on his injury?
And ended up at the hospital, and there was some concern post-game. What I'm being told today, within the past hour, is that he's okay. Bad bruise and a lot of swelling, but nothing too much more serious than that. They have a bye this week, so, I mean, early indications are that it might not even be something that costs him time, but obviously they were extremely cautious, as they should be, with an injury like that, with Tyler Lockett, very valuable guy, and obviously you want to make sure that he's okay.
There was also Emmanuel Sanders who was nicked up.
Yeah, he left with a rib injury, so they have to check that out with an MRI today and see what it is. Obviously, you know, if it's some kind of fracture, then that's a longer-term absence than if it's a cartilage situation, and if it's a cartilage injury, then it might be the kind of thing where they find a way to protect it and see if he can play through some pain. So they'll wait to see what the results are on the MRI today with Sanders.
All right. We said we expected the game. We certainly got one. Do you remember who picked this one? 27-24?
Yeah, I missed it.
Oh,
I missed
it. No. Yeah, but I did.
I was wrong.
I was right.
I know what you're trying to say, but I didn't want to say you were right.
No, I know.
I know where you were trying to lead me.
I'm like, you're going with typical man. You're going with I was wrong.
Yeah, but I didn't say you were right.
27-24 Seattle. I knew it. All right. 2 days after he was benched for what Coach Bruce Arians called a lack of hustle, the Buccaneers released starting cornerback Vernon Hargraves this morning. He was the 11th overall pick in the 2016 draft, the most experienced corner on the Bucs roster. Any surprise, Dan, at this decision?
Well, no, I mean, it had been trending that way, and he hadn't been playing well. Interesting contractual decision. They picked up the fifth-year option on his contract for next year, his rookie contract, but only guaranteed against injury. So at this point, he goes on waivers. If you pick him up, you assume another $1 million left on this year's contract, and then that option becomes your responsibility. So I wonder if anybody would pick him up and risk playing him this year. And being
teams need corners. Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised. When I first heard the news,
but that's
I thought,
of the teams that needs him is Tampa Bay, and they just cut him.
Well, yeah, I understand that. Yeah. But when I mean, there are other teams that need corners. And so it will be interesting to watch, because when I first heard the news, I just assumed he had been in the league longer. I mean, this is a young player.
Yeah.
This is
2016.
The thing is this, like some cuts, some moves are about sending a message. And if it is about effort, he hasn't played well, but there's a lot of football players that don't necessarily play extremely well, but because they're needed based on the roster of the teams, they're there. Or because of business, they continue to be a part of the roster. But Bruce Arians said, if it's effort, if you aren't playing the way that we need football to be played here, then you can't be a part of this team. Mm. And I think that sets a tone when you get rid of a former first rounder who does have a little bit more time, who is young because of the way he approaches the game. I think if you're the rest of those guys in that locker room, you say, okay, it has to be done a certain way.
Well, that gets people's attention.
It definitely sets a tone. As a coach, there's one thing I always wanted to respect my players, okay? I would not scream or berate a player as long as he was given effort.
Yeah.
So if he's not given effort,
you're not trying to mess up.
We're drawing a line now. You're not giving effort.
Line for that.
No, we've crossed the line.
All right, let's talk about the Jets for just a minute. The New York Jets snapped their three-game losing streak on Sunday. They won the Battle of New York over the Giants. Gangrene still sits at just 2-7. But let's not talk to Sam Darnold about the odds. The Jets QB had this to say about the team's playoff hopes after the game was over.
Yeah, I mean, we need every win from now on. you know, because we still got a chance. I mean, you know, if we got on a roll here and we went out, we got a chance in the playoffs.
So you're saying there's a chance, Ryan Clark? Sounds good, sounds bad, the Jets' playoff chances. I mean, it is statistically possible.
Not really wrong.
No, I just sounds good, sounds bad.
Y'all seen Coming to America, right?
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah, it sounds good, terrible. That's what it sounds like. Listen, I understand what Sam Darnold is doing, and we don't really hear a lot from Sam. Sam isn't a quarterback that you get a ton of sound bites from. And I sit on here every Monday, used to be with literal Adam, and now we sit with literal Martin Morton. They say all these things like, well, it could happen. The schedule says so. The numbers bear it out. Their schedule doesn't say it. Their numbers don't say it because this team isn't going to win out. This team isn't consistent. They're not a team full of good, talented football players. And it's not a team that is coached well either. And so the chances of them going from 2-7 to winning the rest of the games this season aren't very high. They may not get the first pick, which
point
I think
0.1%, Ryan.
0.1%.
Just
not
let
zero.
Me know.
0.1.
It's not 0.1.
Oh, I know. That's why I said 0.1.
Right. Hey. Along with the Bengals. Along with a team that coming into the season, we said was trying to lose every game.
That's right. They have the same statistical.
And the only reason the Broncos have a higher percentage than they do is because Joe Flacco is not playing anymore, and teams seem to get better when he is no longer the quarterback.
That is the
unnecessary shot of Cousins.
Don't beat him up.
Unnecessary shot of Flacco.
I mean,
your turn's next, bro.
I don't take unnecessary shots.
Oh, yes, you do.
Literal Dan.
We're throwing some elbows today. All right, look, so. We'll see. So like, we'll call it
unlikely. If they win their last seven games, then they get to 9-7,
that sounds good to you though, Dan?
Well, what are you supposed to say? What would you be saying if he sat there and said, well, we're not well coached, we don't have good players, I think I can say anyway.
You know what? I'd be like, man,
we win any
games.
Like,
you know what? I'd be like, you're more honest than you are a good decision maker.
Well, what would you say if you were his teammate and he said that?
I would say this is what I expect from you anyway, Sam.
Man, come on.
Right, look,
I mean, he had
we didn't say sounds right or wrong.
Like he was
we
hurt this season. We're in this position because our quarterback was hurt. Luke Falk played. He wasn't ready. Just be honest and say, you know what? Right now, we aren't a good team. We understand there were other circumstances that put us in this place.
That's hard to say, though, but it is also true. All right, let's talk about the other New York team for just a minute. They're trying to get Saquon Barkley going. He's had one rush short of 13 attempts Sunday. He also had x-rays after the game for an undisclosed injury. And then on Monday, Giants coach Pat Shurmur was asked about Barkley's health. Here's his response.
We saw Saquon went for an MRI. What can you share about where he's at with his injury?
Yeah, he was in today. He's feeling much better. He's fine.
Have you guys even talked about considered shutting him down for the season, or is that not even a consideration?
Absolutely not.
The mindset of sitting me out and resting me for the rest of the season is beyond me. I do not agree with it. I just got to make take advantage of the opportunities that I get. But to say that I'm not healthy or this and that and third, those are just excuses. Everyone's banged up. Everyone's going through something. And I'm not going to let that be an excuse of why I'm not having a successful season. The reason why I'm not having a successful season is because I'm not making enough plays for my team. And that's just it.
All right, Jack, I'm talking about the idea itself. The idea of shutting down Saquon Barkley sounds good or sounds bad?
Well, it sounds more than bad. It sounds it sounds ridiculous.
Okay, there you go.
And the reason it's thrown out there is I think a reporter just was asking a question, wanting a story, and he got one. Because you had the coach had to respond to it, the player had to respond to it, and so we're all talking about it. The reality is it's the furthest thing from the mind. And I know what's happened is the whole load management, the NBA, you know, way of looking at players or pitchers not throwing, you know, so many innings and they're getting shut down, things like that. That's where this discussion comes from. But this is a football player. He's a proud football player on a team that's struggling, but he's in no way going to shut it down. You're going to see his best effort to finish the year.
Where's Herm Edwards when you need him? Right?
I will say this. I remember when the conversations about bowl games came into play in college, right?
It's different, though.
Well, I know. It's very different. But I remember also saying to other people, because I thought you should be able to sit out and that it was a smart thing to do if your team wasn't playing in the college football championships, I started saying it's not going to trickle down anywhere else. I said this is going to be an isolated incident. This is how people will focus on it. It's starting to trickle into other things because now we have conversations about guys being, you look at Nick Bosa last year, he gets the injury, immediately says, you know what, I'm going to start training for the NFL. We're now starting to see players, because they're so talented, because it's so much more money, start to look at the future and how you can protect players your assets. So now with Saquon Barkley, this isn't a thing of him saying, you know what, I need to rest. But we see this guy as a transcendent generational talent. We knew that the Giants would be terrible this year, but we thought no matter what, if the Giants are playing with 10 other dead people on offense, Saquon Barkley is going to be a godsend. We said there was it didn't matter if they couldn't block, if they couldn't throw it to him. He was so good, he was going to get numbers. We aren't seeing that. So since we aren't seeing that, you know what? Oh, my goodness. Panic. He must be injured.
So a couple things. We're not seeing it because he got hurt, right? He sprained his ankle, and he probably came back too fast, and he doesn't look like himself. So that's the reason the question comes up. It's not just because reporters are mean, Jack. It's because there's a reason. There's a reason the question comes up. It's because the guy is hurt.
I didn't say it was mean. I said making a story.
But did Jack say it like this? Reporters are mean.
No, yeah, that was me.
The answer goes this.
That was my Pat Shermer style condescension toward Jack. But no, look. I mean, the key difference with the college guys. I mean, if you're a college player in a bowl game, you know, as you well know, you're not getting paid. And if you get hurt significantly in that bowl game, you may be putting a multi-million-dollar future at risk. Saquon Barkley is being paid to play football by the New York Giants.
Right.
He is literally a professional, so you go and do your job.
We agree with that, Dan. And I don't necessarily believe that people were saying it was Saquon Barkley's decision or that's something he would want to do.
Was implying.
They're just basically like, hey, man, look, y'all stink. You're hurting. You're not yourself.
Yeah.
Why not protect your biggest asset?
They're still charging. It's a ridiculous question.
They're still charging money. I agree with you. They're still charging money for people to go see those games. They owe it to those people to put their best
I don't disagree with
and
that.
Dan is a man of the people. He's defending the fans today. He's defending the media. First of all, that will get you no
friends. I got to get him off me now.
Yeah, right? He's coming at you. The Steelers and Browns will both play on short weeks. They are the matchup for Thursday night. Pittsburgh has won 4 in a row. Currently sits in the 6th seed despite their 0-3 start. The Browns trying to beat their division rivals for just the 3rd time in the last 10 seasons.
Well, you know, we try to stay focused on this week and this week only. And we want to go 1-0 this week. That's the only thing we want to do. So, not really building on anything. We just want to go 1-0 this week.
They're making a lot of plays right now. Obviously, they picked up Fitzpatrick, and he's had quite a bit of turnovers. So, you know, they're creating plays up front. Obviously, they have the dual pass rushers, you know, Dupree and Watt on the edges. So they're able to create plays in the back end.
Cleveland's preparing for us. We're preparing for them. And it's just good on good. Just comes down to execution and who makes the fatal errors that cost them the game. We got to slow Chuck down before we can start bigger. You know, we got to – that's the number one thing they're doing. You know, Chubb is doing a magnificent job for the Browns right now, you know, putting them on his back.
We're rolling right now, feeling pretty good about them. Those wins are nice, and I think everyone's kind of keep that energy alive in the locker room. You know, winning makes things a lot better. It makes the season go by faster, and everyone kind of enjoys that.
Jake Trotter is covering the Browns. Jeremy Fowler is with the Steelers. We'll have reports from both teams, but we start in Pittsburgh. Jeremy?
Well, Wendy, it's been a long time since the Steelers' defense held center stage around these parts. I just spoke with Browns coach Freddie Kitchens, who said the Steelers are playing as good as anybody because they get sacks and create turnovers. Now, no one knows the highs and lows of this Steelers' D quite like veteran lineman Cam Hayward. So I asked Cam at his locker what has changed. He said, we finally have an elite secondary. We roll 6-7 guys deep, and they all can play. And as for safety Minka Fitzpatrick, who's good for about a touchdown a week right now, Hayward's beginning to wonder if Fitzpatrick has access to the opposing team's huddle, because he always knows exactly where the ball is going to be.
Thanks, Jeremy. The Cleveland Browns have desperately been searching for an offensive identity all season, and Sunday may have finally found it in the form of a two-back set featuring Nick Chubb and new playmaker Kareem Hunt. In that Sunday win over the Buffalo Bills, the Browns ran two-back for 30 plays and averaged 7.3 yards per play, almost a full 2 yards above their season average. In Hunt's Cleveland debut, coming off that 8-game suspension, he did rush for 30 yards on 4 carries, but impressed even more as both a pass catcher and lead blocker for Chubb. Catching passes both out of the backfield and after shifting out wide, Hunt had 44 receiving yards on 7 receptions and 9 targets. But Cleveland coach Freddie Kitchens told me today that Hunt was especially great as a lead blocker, as 2 of his kickout blocks led to big runs for Chubb, who still finished with 116 yards and 20 carries despite sharing the backfield with Hunt. Kitchens noted that the unselfishness of his two-star backs is what makes the two-back set work and hinted that more of it could be on the way come Thursday night against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Wendy?
Jake, thank you very much.
All right, this is going to be pretty difficult for me because I wanted to say that the Steelers will win every game. But as you go down here, they would say that that was a probability that wasn't actually put in to the machine. So this week, even though it's a Thursday night game, the Cleveland Browns look okay and the Steelers are rolling. I'm actually going to give that win to the Cleveland Browns. It's tough to go on the road for a Thursday night.
Wow.
This team is kind of starting to click. They need some red zone things to happen for Cleveland. But I think they pull out this win in a very close game. Bengals, I don't even know why we have them up here.
Wow.
That's a win for the Steelers. The Browns come to town, though, I believe that seeing it one time, getting to know how they'll use Kareem Hunt, being at Heinz Field, the Steelers come back and avenge the loss that they'll get this week. Now, the Cardinals game, I believe this game is going to be a little bit tougher than people expect. The Cardinals are starting to roll a little bit. This offense is getting moving, but they still going to lose. So we're going with the Pittsburgh Steelers with the win there as well.
Look at that number going up, 74.
So now we go to the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills have a quarterback who's mobile, an extremely good defense. I believe that's a game that becomes tough for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So they will get a loss there. And I know many are going to say, but not the Bills, not Josh Allen. This is a team that plays very good defense. And Steelers have not been moving the ball like you want. The Jets, they'll be on their way to the playoffs because Sam Darnold said it could happen live.
Six in a row.
They're going to lose that game as well. And so, well, they're going to win that game as well. And the Ravens, this will be tough. I believe the Ravens could be fighting to see if they can host the divisional playoffs and the AFC Championship in Baltimore. So that will be a loss for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
50-50, baby.
Wow.
That's where we net.
Riding the fence.
And 9-7 would be a heck of an effort by Mike Tomlin.
After starting 0-3 and losing your starting quarterback.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Everything else under the sun. All right, let's see the Browns.
Coach. Browns?
Yeah.
You want me to do
that
it?
That team in
That's
Cleveland.
That's you right there, Coach.
I'll scroll through all these L's.
It's a lot of those.
Got to it. So you have the Browns winning this game Thursday against the Steelers.
Yep.
I didn't have it. So they're 11%.
Okay.
A lot of my predictions are based off my belief that this is not a very good Browns team.
It's not.
That's how it works.
Wait, they dropped the 3% with that.
Yeah, no, that's rough, right? So if they win it, they go to what? 18. So it's really not that deep. We'll get to that in a second. Beat the Dolphins, obviously. They'll lose the Steelers in Pittsburgh. They'll play renegade in the fourth quarter. Everybody will go nuts.
You know how that goes.
And the Browns won't be able to pull that off.
Is that sub one?
Now they got a problem, right?
Yes. Okay.
So it's beat the Bengals. Let's say beat the Cardinals. I'm trying to make a point. Let's say they beat the Ravens.
I see your point.
Which they did before and beat the Bengals again. They're still only at 4%.
So at 8-8, it's only a 4% chance.
But watch what happens if they win one of the two Steelers games.
Wow.
That's incredible.
How about
because
that?
It also changes the Pittsburgh Steelers fortune
exactly.
as well.
Right. Thank you. Yeah. See, you know this machine well. You've worked together before. The key is that Ravens way. They got to be able to beat them, but they did it once already in Baltimore. So why not if they get on a little bit of a roll?
Look,
that's
why we do this exercise.
Those Steelers games are critical for the Browns. Let's say they win this week. All of a sudden things look a lot better.
And that's exactly, though, even when you're looking at the Steelers' wins, this is why the game on Thursday is so important for the Cleveland Browns.
Game.
It's going to be extremely hard to win there. You got one win. You get them at home on a Thursday night. This is where Freddie Kitchens is. If he wants to save this season, it's about Thursday night. But to me, he's going up against one of the top coaches in the NFL.
But you
I agree with you there,
no
but I also agree
error,
this is
right?
a pivotal game for the Cleveland
no
Browns.
No margin for error. They got to win pretty much all their games to have a shot.
All right. So, thank you, gentlemen.
Cleveland Browns will be watching.
That's fun.
Well done. Oh, okay. All right. New on NFL Live.
We didn't do the Bengals.
An injury update on David Njoku from Jake Trotter, Browns tight end. David Njoku on how the healing broken wrist is feeling. He said, great. And he was asked if he was optimistic he'll be able to play when he's eligible to come off IR next week. And he said, very. And I think he means very optimistic. I am also all in on Hat Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah.
There we go. Mm. All right. Who's going first? You, Coach?
Sure. I'll go first.
He's busy. So
I'm going to say, because I went earlier, I said that the Cowboys needed to have patience. Okay. So now, it is the next week. It is time to win. We need to win if we're going to get in. So let's get it going this week. Dallas Cowboys.
All right. They play the Lions. Listen, Mike's not really a team so much as a quarterback. I think Lamar Jackson made a statement against the New England Patriots. No?
Mm-hmm.
Russell Wilson certainly made a statement
against San Francisco.
I think Deshaun Watson can make a statement against the Baltimore Ravens if they pull this out and really change the course or solidify the course of their season. I am all in on Deshaun Watson and the Texans.
I like it.
Coach took the Cowboys. I'm taking the team that beat the Cowboys on Sunday night. What the Vikings defense did against Ezekiel Elliott without Linval Joseph.
Yeah.
I now like the Vikings to not only pass the Packers and win their division, but I think the Vikings are a major factor, a major threat to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl this year.
Good job, right. Coach.
Listen, we all know it was a great weekend in the NFL. I mean, saw some teams fall short. The Pittsburgh Steelers. Where's my?
Oh, my helmet.
I am all in. I have been all in for the last 20 years. I suffered for the last 8. Every time that Alabama came to town or that we had to go to Tuscaloosa. But it's over now. It's over now. Now everybody knows where we are.
Get fired up! Stop running, Wendy Nix! You're crazy!
Get fired up!